Hashtag you don't have to be Jewish.
On the phone, I have Mary Kluck, director at the Durban Holocaust Center. And as I said in the beginning of the show this afternoon, I know we've spoken a little bit about the diplomatic spat between Israel and Poland. We know it's Holocaust related. We know it's property related. And yet something isn't making sense. I thought let's use this time to just get some clarity as to what is happening between Israel and Poland. Mary Kluck, director of the Durban Holocaust Center, thank you for being with us on Chai FM this afternoon.
Thank you. Thanks for having me.
So, yeah, I'm referring to this major diplomatic spat that has made it to all the important newspapers worldwide over the past 2 weeks or so. What is the issue, Mary?
So the issue, and I'm going to speak about what's happening in the Poland parliament rather than, you know, how that manifests in relations with Israel and Poland. I'd like to just speak to what...
No, that's exactly what I want you to address. What is happening
you know,
in the Polish parliament?
I'm not in the international relations business. I'm, you know, as you said, I'm the director of the Durban Holocaust and Genocide Center. But on the 24th of June, Poland's lower house of parliament overwhelmingly passed a bill which would actually make it virtually impossible for Holocaust survivors and their families, their heirs, as well as other Jewish and non-Jewish rightful owners, property owners, to obtain restitution of or compensation for property that was wrongfully confiscated during the Holocaust and communist period. And
Mary, can I be devil's advocate here just for a moment? Yeah. It's been 75 years since 1945. If they haven't bought their actions by now, why shouldn't they be barred?
You know, I believe, and I don't think that we can, and I think everyone would agree, justice cannot have an expiry date. Whether you brought your claim now, if you can think about it, the after the Holocaust, the communist era, and yes, the communist era has been over for some couple of decades, but the opportunity to access papers and documents and the availability of legal representation and following through on so many of these claims has been a really, really tough road for people. And often the opportunity that this claim might even exist at all wasn't clear to heirs of Holocaust survivors.
So how did this work in practice, Mary? So if I could prove my case that my property was confiscated and taken from me, I bring the case against whom? The Polish state or the current occupier? Who was it that was responsible to make good, to pay the reparations?
It's interesting that Poland is the only country in the European Union that has not passed comprehensive national legislation for this restitution of or compensation for private property that was unjustly seized by the Nazis or nationalized by the communist regime. So every other country in the European Union has passed legislation which provides for compensation.
Including a country like Austria?
If it was possible.
Mary, would that include a country such as Austria?
Absolutely. All the countries in the European Union have made provision. Austria is paying reparations and through the Claims Conference, actually. They make a substantial contribution for survivors who were, you know, Austrian survivors and their well-being. So Poland is the only country that has refused to make any, pass any legislation that acknowledges, I suppose, responsibility is where it all stems. Because if you're prepared to encounter the idea of restitution and compensation, then it's an acknowledgement of responsibility.
Yeah, I mean, it's a really fraught issue. I can understand the Poles wanting to say, oh my goodness me, there were 3 million Jews living here who were liquidated, whose property was stolen. We can't afford to return it all. It'll be a burden on the state. We were victims. Let's just pass laws protecting us from such claims. Are they attempting to rewrite history?
The shop or the house or the factory in a town in Poland that's affected by this legislation wasn't taken by Germany. It was taken by Poland. And it sits today in Poland, and its use has benefited Poland for over 70 years. But it's time for this fact to be recognized and for Poland to do justice for those who suffered so much.
I hear you. I understand what you're saying. I wonder if there's going to be even the smallest modicum of a chance of success, given that even to mention that Poland was complicit in the Holocaust is a criminal offense, I think,
exactly.
by Polish yes. standards today.
Exactly. It's not. Now this bill is, the Senate, I think, has 30 days, and if it's passed by the Senate, then the President Duda has 21 days to bring it into law. It's going to be interesting. There's been, obviously, as you said, diplomatic outbreak, but it remains to be seen how it is resolved.
I'm absolutely fascinated by this. I wonder why this happened now, why this didn't happen 3, 4, 5 years ago. I mean, I hear what you're saying, that you're not an international relations expert, but Israel had superb relations with the Polish government under Netanyahu. What could possibly be the reason for this now?
I think the issue of looted art by the Nazis is very much a contemporary issue. So much of the, if you think about Holocaust survivors only being comfortable to share their stories in the last 25 years, so
yes.
much as, as much as the time is over 70 years, so much of the pain, the volume of the crime, have had to be processed. And for me, there's no expiry on how we seek justice and when justice should be sought. And there needs to be an acknowledgement and a negotiation on behalf of the state on how to provide with some kind of acknowledgement and compensation and restitution for those victims.
I think that is a powerful statement. I think that's a really good place to leave our discussion. Mary Kluk, Director of the Durban Holocaust Center, thank you for explaining the issues to me. I get it this time around.
Thanks so much. Thank you very much. Have a good evening.